the newbie tonight, so we'll let Josh lead us in prayer. Yeah, you're the only Josh. Yeah, you're the only one here tonight. Josh 3. Thanks. Be seated. Turn over to 343. Let's sing Springs of Living Water. Water's fine. Come on in. So, all right, turn over to page 458. Now I belong to Jesus. If you drink at the springs of living water, then you belong to Jesus. Jesus.
He gave his heart to it's kind of an uproar in the golf world. These golfers, when they're heading into one of these major championships, they all have to do a press conference, and one of the golfers named Scottie Scheffler, you guys know the name Scottie Scheffler. All right, got one or two. He's the world number one. He's the most rapid rising golf star, and they were talking to him about it, and he said, you know what? Golf is not very satisfying. Said, you cannot find fulfillment in that. And they're all like, and I mean, it's almost like scandal. Everybody's like, oh, how could you say this? You're at the top of the world. And he said, even if I win this tournament, you know what's going to happen? He said, it's going to feel good for 2 minutes. And everybody's going to be asking, you won last week. What are you going to do this week? And the reality is, that's true. It's always on to the next. Nothing that satisfies in this world except for a relationship with Jesus. How many of you here can say amen to the fact that you can say, I am satisfied? Amen. Be satisfied in the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful, these songs really pointing to the relationship that we have with Him. Thank the Lord for our song service here. Let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James 4. And as we come to the end of what I believe is the heartbeat of the book, it's found here in verse 10, the climax to that heartbeat. And some of this, I think, is, I've got several reasons why I think this is the center of this entire book. Read the verse 10, claim what it means, try to come back and substantiate that. Read it together. Verse 10, James chapter 4. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. And you know what? I know the Lord loves that because He's given it to us in many, many places. Over in Matthew and in Luke, and 1 Peter has a variation of it, and other places that have a similar idea towards this. We're going to look at this aspect of humble yourself. Humble yourself. In the sight of God, in the presence of Almighty God. What does that mean? There's an element to which this verse is connected back to chapter verse 8. Draw nigh to God. It's connected back to verse 7. Submit yourself to God. Especially within that beginning. So you see how it's submit? What's the connection between submission and humility? That's right. Very good. So what is the literal meaning of submit? Come underneath somebody. So when you come underneath them, you are, and what's the idea of coming a humble? There's a directional aspect of humility. Humility is to go down, to get down low before someone. Fall down on your face before the idea. And so there's humility is self-abasement. I think that's very helpful in my mind. I think in terms of sometimes we think we what humility is in some aspects, but if I think of it in regards to myself, oh, I love myself. Give myself a hug here. I do everything for myself, right? I nourish and cherish myself. If I'm hungry, I'll make sure I get some food. And I'm cut and bleeding, hold on. We've got to make sure we got a band-aid. We've got to make sure that things are taken care of. Our lives revolve around ourselves. And God says, you have to take that self that you so love and face yourself. And that may be one of the hardest things we ever have to do. To take what we want to be lifted up and go the exact humility is we're gonna look at some of the application here in just a moment. But one person put it this way: genuine humility is profoundly theological. What does that mean? It means humility is centered on God. Abase yourself in the sight of the Lord. Is the Lord present before you? Do you see His gaze? Is He looking upon you? And as He gazes upon you and you feel that sense that Almighty God, His eyes are sweeping across your life, you bow yourself. When He steps in and says, "This is my will." And when He says, "This is what I want you to do with us." So there's this aspect of humility is not just, "Oh, I got to grovel on the ground and can't really look up." It's you are profoundly aware of the presence of God, His sight. And because of who God is, an aspect of which when people come into the presence of God, someone says, "Oh, I was driving." I mean, I hear these type of stories. I think I've been to this before, but I think this guy said he sat down in the car and he looked over and he saw Jesus was sitting in the passenger seat, and they had a conversation. He had a conversation with Jesus Christ, and I think in the context of what I'm remembering, he made some sort of song. So, oh, he had some special encounter with Jesus. I'm thinking, there's something wrong here. If you came in contact with the resurrected, glorified Jesus, we know of a man who did that, and he fell down on his face. He didn't keep driving along and have a conversation with him. So I'm thinking, something's not right here with this. There's an aspect of, you can know the man who has come into contact with God. Because there is an all-pervading, you know, I don't give 2 cents to my devotion. My prayer, I don't care how long I live. I don't care how close God felt to me. If I get up and start acting with a proud spirit to my faith, I say, "Whoa, what happened, Lord? Because I left somewhere back there. And I'm nervous that I am in my mind. God, God comes, we bow down." It's interesting, this is the aspect of, I just wish I had. Okay, I'm already at 20 after. I have a lot more to say. First Samuel, I think, is a special book. We've been studying it together as a family. We've been developing the theme. One of those books that I feel very close to my heart because it just feels like the theme is jumping off the page at me all the time. And that theme is stated to you from the beginning of the book. I've already talked to you a little bit about it here. And it talks about someone who is made down low, God exalts. Someone who's up high, God takes them down. 1 Samuel 2:8, and that wonderful prayer by Hannah says, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of the Lord." Does that sound like Hannah? It doesn't inherit a throne. So maybe she's going to sit on the throne someday. I'm not trying to discount that aspect. You know, there's a person that the book of Samuel is all about. His name is Jesus. He says, "What am I? Am I a believer? I'm the least of my father's children." His sense is one of humility. You see that in his heart. God says, raises him up. He is on the run. He is being persecuted. He is almost at the point of death. There's a foot between him and him. You know why most of the Psalms that are written about the Messiah, that are messianic, are written by his life, shows his life down low. Picture of Jesus. You know what? We know that there's a spiritual law. Say spiritual. There's a law in terms of the physical law. I need to point to the physical law first. There's called the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. That was a mistake. Wow, I don't know how that happened. Paying attention here, all right. You know what? There's a spiritual law that says what voluntarily goes down. It's a law. It's what God promises to do. To set up on high those that be low, those which mourn. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill. Psalm 113. He lifteth up the meek and casteth down the wicked to the ground. You know why I know? I think this is the key aspect of the book. Is because it ties in. These words of humility and being lifted up are found in James chapter 1. He says, let the brother of low degree, same idea, same word, I think if my memory is correct. He says, let the brother of low degree, the humble one, rejoice in that he is exalted. Same word, lifted up. What is God doing in all of our lives? He is trying and testing our faith so that he can purify us and purge us and make us what we should be. And through the trials of our faith, the purpose of God is to get us down low so that we will humble ourselves before him. Can we make some application? What does it mean to abase you? God shows up, this is what a humble man does. He admits. Humility acknowledges our sin. And the totality of sin. You know what? There was a man who was a tax collector, and he beat upon his breast. He wouldn't even look up to God because he knew how filthy and dirty he was. And God uses him. Luke 18:14 says, everyone who humbles himself. Here's an example of what that means. You know what? Come on, think about it. Who's the first one to admit they're wrong? Who's the first one to go back and say, I'm sorry? You know what? That's really hard to do. It's so much easier. Well, yes, you've been humble. You humbled yourself. I'll let you be the leader. Now, what's supposed to happen? I should be first. But it's so hard. And you know what? I'm telling you, I don't know if everybody feels this way, but I just feel like this. When I do something wrong and I'm in a tussle with somebody else, or something like that. They have done 14. I mean, if we're talking about a Richter scale, we're talking about they've done a 9 type sin. And they kind of caused me to do something really wrong. And I'm kind of like a 2 on the Richter scale. And I got to apologize first for my little 2. They definitely got to apologize first. They were the big problem. It was just, I didn't handle your problem right. Okay. That's the way I feel. I've never hardly been in many arguments where I'm the 9 and they're the 2. That's just, but I hate it. It's like acid on my soul for me to have to be the one that goes, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You know, oftentimes our apologies are, well, I shouldn't have done that, but let me get to what you should have done. So we're willing to admit wrong. Humility, self-abasement, is willing to admit need. You see one of the synonyms in the passage we read before? He lifted up the poor, he lifted up the needy. You are humble. You live in a state of dependency. God, I need you. I need you. If there was a point in our life today that we were not thinking, God, prayer is an expression of dependence. He wants us to live constantly with our eyes on the Lord. Sometimes we take our eyes off of him and we
you think, you know, I got this.
Humility is willing to submit. One of the other expressions here, he lifted up the meek. The meek are those who allow God to dictate his commandments or through his prophets. If we're fighting over what God is doing in our life, and we're frustrated at circumstances of our life, we are bound. Because a humble person leans ourselves on the meek and says, God, whatever you want to do in my life, however you want to get glory, whether by life or by death, it doesn't matter. I just want you to, the name of Jesus Christ, to be praised. Living for others. An expression of humility. Paul, in describing his treatment to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 11, 7, he says, did not ask them to give him money. And then he says, did my abasing myself for you, did that offend you? Because I was humble. I didn't take a position that I could have had. I humbled myself. I worked for my own living, and I did it for your sake. And so he described living a life that's focused on others as abasing yourself. Humility is not focusing on yourself. Humility is not, understand that, but the focus is on God, on others, so that someone who's truly humble rarely thinks of themselves. Because their concentration is on others. Forgiving someone else. We talked about the son of Jesus. He said, you don't have to. I'm not going to do that. You don't owe me an apology. You don't have to get this right every time. You don't owe me. I because you're giving me. Loving and being honest about your condition. You know what was the context of these scripture verses? Matthew 23:12. He says, everyone that lowers himself will be exalted. Everyone exalts himself will be lowered. You know that God in that passage is condemning you. We go around and put on a mask. We want everybody else to see a certain kind of veneer, and we get kind of upset if somebody really knows what's going on in our life because we're not humble. Things we do in our youth, we have a time in which we try to be brutally honest. You know what? That's one of the most difficult times. Walk out of here and say, this is a verse that I think you and I should live our life every single day. I would say, this is good for you to memorize the verse, how long that might take, and say it every single day. Humble yourself and say, then watch how many situations that verse applies. You make a step. What, maybe one of these things is admitting you're wrong. And you're going to go back and say, oh, it's ungrateful. Oh. And Lord, I'm going to humble myself. And you go in there and say, Lord, humble yourself in this time, Lord, and he shall lift you up. You do it on the He shall lift you up. And you watch and see what God does to lift you up. You want the blessing of God? You know what it's called in this verse? Chapter 4, verse 6. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace. God is lifting you up. You are experiencing the supernatural. Strengthening. Helping. Leading you. How many times have you missed out on a special interaction with God? He wants to do, and the place he wants to. God, may God help us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He shall exalt you. First Peter chapter 5. All these wonderful verses. All right, let's go ahead and pass out some words.